Jones.
And Mike. Real radio for real people who are real enough to realize they really still have a few things to figure out. Jones is a hockey-playing, city-living, vegan bachelor who practices transcendental meditation when he's not biking to shows and Cub games. Mike's a beer-swilling, married father of four from suburbia. His motorcycling, marathoning, and martial arts are pretty much on the shelf while he limos children all over town to their activities for the next decade.
Sound familiar?
It's, you know, shit dudes say. About family. Women. Philosophy. Politics. History. People. Money. Pop culture. Kids. Fighting. Business. Life. Join the conversation. 312-957-7210. Hashtag Jones and Mike. 24/7. Worldwide. At jonesandmike.com.
This hour, Jones reveals his must-see Lollapalooza list. Is rock dead amongst the youngins? And are you on Team Taylor or Team Kanye?
This is Jones and Mike. Jones and Mike.
Jones, every morning I get in the car, I put on Sirius XM, I put on Howard Stern, I put on my Waze app, and then Waze drives me into the city the whole way. I don't even have to think about anything. I could just sit there and listen to Howard belittle people with disabilities. And I know you love that.
Yes. You know, yes, I'm a big fan of those hip and little people with disabilities.
That's right. That's right. In the kinder, gentler America we're living in, Howard is still, for whatever reason, going on 60 years old and belittling people with disabilities. And he regales me with it every morning, and I love it.
I can't believe that he's still going on that, John. I really can't. At what point don't you hit... Don't you hit that element of entertainment where you go, this is feeling a little bit uncomfortable? Like, clearly Beetlejuice is mentally addled.
Well, I don't know. Beetlejuice, I haven't even heard him on, like, did he die?
As an example.
Maybe he's, like,
maybe
he's in hospice or something.
And maybe he's, actually, I've heard that he's moved.
Oh.
But still, Beetlejuice.
I love it. He moved, and now he can't, like, dial in. But like Howard's got he's got the whack pack. High Pitch Eric is a long standing member of the whack pack.
Right. And what's the slow adult? What's her name?
He's got Wendy the slow adult. Yes. He's got Marfan Mike is the new one.
Oh.
Somebody with Marfan's disease, I guess.
See, that's where I feel uncomfortable because one of my friends has twins that has that Marfan.
Really?
And I've donated.
Twins? Twin Marfans?
Yes.
Oh,
and I've donated to their foundation. So then it feels weird to see someone who has a child with that, you donate to their foundation, but then on Monday morning be like,
well, I know, but Marfan Mike is totally into it. He's loving the notoriety.
I know.
So you Mar twins? Is that a medical term they use? Mar twins?
No, I wouldn't know.
Oh, you wouldn't.
It's not like he really talks to me about it.
Okay. Well, I'm very sorry for that,
absolutely.
That ailment and so forth. But people that have Marfans should be free. You would agree, the libertarian partner of mine. You would agree they should be free to choose whether they want to capitalize on their Marfans or not, yes?
Absolutely. There's no question, but at the same time, just when he's talking to
them,
there's
Marfan
just got to be...
We can't laugh at a Marfan infant.
What I'm talking about is there are people that he talks to where they don't... Who's the one who always flies off the handle? There's a Sour Shoes who's very bizarre.
Sour Shoes does the impersonations,
right?
But there is a guy who does, and I think he's been Hansy.
Hansy.
He's been banned.
Okay, well, but Hansy, there's clearly something wrong. Like, you are playing with a royal flush, and he has two cards. Like, Hansy is off his rocker. And at what point...
Thank you for telling me I'm playing life with a royal flush. I appreciate that.
Well, I'm just saying,
I've always felt I was the Chris Moneymaker of life players.
It's just, I do kind of wonder after all these years, because there's so many things about Howard where he's gone soft.
Yeah.
But he's still staying strong on overpowering, coming over the top of those who are at a deficit.
You say that, but I think that the audience has told him that they like that cast of characters.
Look, he's not consulting me. I get it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
The audience likes the cast of characters, but this isn't about Howard Stern. This is about every morning I do listen to Howard Stern. And my radio in my car is broken. It's broken. I don't even listen to the radio at all. If you're not on an app, I don't listen to you now. And I don't think that I'm alone. I think that America's moving toward that. But I slowly, incrementally. Like, it used to be 1%, now it's 8% that's moving toward that. But be that as it may, I get in the car, I turn on Howard Stern, I put on my Waze app. The other day, my Waze app malfunctioned, and it led me past Cermak to go down the Kennedy North to where I need to go to work. And it led me downtown. It led me down onto Lakeshore Drive. And all of a sudden, I was in the thick of it. And I'm like, this is horrible. I don't want this. How did this happen? Oh, there's a Trump Tower. Oh, this is kind of cool. I get to see Soldier Field. Haven't been here in, like, you know, 8 months or whatever it's been. And I lead, you know, it leads me finally, like, reactivating Waze. Finally, Waze, the Waze traffic app, led me onto Columbus Drive. And I'm going down Columbus, and I just see tents everywhere, like a tent city, like a FEMA camp. And I'm like, what is this? What is this? I know Taste of Chicago was a few weeks ago. What is this? And then finally it hit me. It's Jones's festival.
Oh, come on. Lollapalooza is my festival?
The Festa Jones.
Come on.
Is finally arriving.
Get out of here. How is it my festival?
The
just because I'm
top.
Going on one
the
day.
The Big Top of Molly is here for Jones. When Jones and the rest of his older ilk can come downtown and feast upon the naked young women of Chicago.
Oh, come on.
When my daughter is going to Lala, are you going to go down there? Because I don't want you oogling my daughter, I got to be honest.
Then if you're worried about me oogling your daughter, why would you have me over to your house like every week?
Well, because now she's a child.
Around.
But like when she is of the age of going to Lala, you won't be invited here. And I want to know.
Get out of here.
I want to know
right.
that you're not going down there. Like, why are you going to Lala? I got to be honest.
Why would I not go to Lollapalooza? Lollapalooza started when you and I wore younger men's clothes.
When we were coming up.
Right. And now this year, they have Jane's Addiction celebrating the 25th anniversary of Lollapalooza. They're going to play Ritual de lo Habitual.
Oh, they are?
Through. Yes.
No, really?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep. And Red Hot Chili Peppers
Wait a
are
second.
Headlining.
No. Don't move on yet. Like, they didn't tell me that they were doing that.
Oh, yeah. That's part of what they're doing on their tour.
Oh.
It's the 25th anniversary of Ritual. It's like on every, they even mention it. If you go and see any of their tour information, it mentions that the 25th anniversary of Ritual will be playing it all the way through.
BS, man.
Well,
I didn't know that.
I brought it up to you. And you
Dang,
you
girl.
Know, I know. I brought it up to you, and 2 years ago when I saw them at Riot Fest and said they were great and they played Nothing Shocking all the way through.
Yeah, Ritual, though, is nearer and dearer to my heart, I
really?
Can be honest. Yeah, yeah.
Nothing Shocking's more nearer and dearer to my heart, but I still like Ritual.
Well, okay. But at any rate, but besides them, what else is there to see?
Well, then after that, the two reasons I'm really going are Jane's Addiction and the Red Hot Chili Peppers are closing out Lollapalooza that night.
So the Geezers, the two Geezer bands are what you're into.
Yes.
That and the prepubescent girls
wearing
daisies in their hair.
No, I won't even be
and
looking
on Molly,
at that. I'm there for the
named
music.
Named Molly.
I'm there for the music, and that is all. I'm still not even, I still can barely work out what Molly is, so.
Yeah.
No.
Have you ever done any hard drug at all?
No.
Would you
consider
dropping a little acid or anything at this?
No. All right. At this point, no. That'd be sad. Although I do have to say, a couple of years ago, I was at the office and one of the girls, one of my millennial coworkers, I made some joke. They were going somewhere. I'm like, oh, you kids are just running out the door to go. You guys are running out the door to go do your little ecstasy and listen to your music or whatever. And I made some kind of joke. And one girl, she was a total sweetheart, but you just heard her go, ooh. It's called Molly now. Oh. No one calls it ecstasy.
Ecstasy.
Anymore.
All right, ecstasy, like, and Molly are the same.
Molly? Yeah,
I don't think so. Really?
No, that's what it's called. Molly is ecstasy.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah, that's it.
I thought Molly was so much more nefarious.
Oh man, you're not even hip enough to go to the 25th anniversary of Lollapalooza.
So then I have encountered someone on Molly once, and sure enough, she was up for like 3 straight days. And she was with another chick, by the way, the whole time, it seemed like. So I think they were doing some lesbian things.
Oh,
I know.
Okay. Well,
and I was kind of like, yeah, baby, you probably stink right around now.
Well,
like, I think that's a thing. I think you start to smell after like day 2 of like constant sweating.
Oh, God, yeah.
It's not
in
sexy anymore.
Environment, sure.
Festival environment. You sound like you're in a Spinal Tap or something. So, at any rate, you have been to Lala, and that's when you fell in love with Lord, if I'm not mistaken, a few years ago.
I didn't go last year, but I went in 2014, and I saw Lord, and I thought she was excellent. Loved her.
So you find new...
Well, I knew Lord going in, so I was curious to see what she'd be like live, and she was awesome. I did like her going into it, but then there was a band, Blood Orange, I'd never heard of. I watched them. I enjoyed them. And then Courtney Barnett, who's not really my style of music, but
like
I enjoyed
an Aussie
her show.
Chick,
yeah,
right?
I enjoyed her show.
Okay, so this is interesting. So now I want to know, like, you plunked down your dough like 6 months ago for this?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you were like, I'm going to this particular day because of these bands. Had they announced the lineup for this day that you're going to?
When I bought the ticket, I bought it when I knew that they were going to. I didn't buy in advance. I bought it when I knew that Jane's and Red Hot Chili Peppers were going to be on Saturday night.
Wow, both bands on one night.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It is awesome.
They did plan for the Oldie Olsons to all come down on one night. Okay, good. So I want to know, if you don't mind, I want to know why... or what bands you want to see at Lala.
Okay.
If you don't mind.
I've got them locked and loaded.
And I want to sample a little bit of the Jones Lala experience.
Okay. I just get a couple, and then I like to leave the rest of my day open so I can maybe find a Blood Orange or a Courtney Barnett. So I'll take you through that little dance.
All right. The dance that is Jones's Lala is next. It's Jones and Mike.
Another Pacific Rim Omega customer speaks.
My name is Tony G. I was very impressed by taking the product and the purity of the pharmaceutical grade of the omega-3 fish oil. I really felt very, very good by taking the product. As far as my mood, I noticed the collagen in my face and some of the lines that have disappeared, my nails, my hair. I highly recommend this product, Pacific Rim. I really, really enjoy the product, and I look forward to purchasing more products in the future.
Find out what Tony and thousands of other people know. Pacific Rim Omegas are the best thing you can do for your health. And get 59% off your order right now when you take advantage of this special exclusive offer. Go to radio.mydailyomega.com right now and save 59% off your order of Pacific Rim Omegas, or call 877-324-4227. That's radio.mydailyomega.com. radio.mydailyomega.com.
Jones and Mike Worldwide at jonesandmike.com. 312-957-7210. Hashtag Jones and Mike.
Jones, the first Lollapalooza happened in 1991.
Yes.
And it was a traveling tour back then. Now it's static. It's just in Chicago. But back then, it went around from city to city, and it came to the New World Music Theater that had just opened a couple of years before that here in Chicago.
And it was also, if I remember correctly, it was a farewell tour for Jane's Addiction.
Yeah,
this
interesting.
This is the way they were going to go out.
Yeah, they had been around for like, 6 years at that point or something?
Yeah, not even.
They probably started, you know, they were like, you know, drug addicts. So we're like, let's start a band. And then they, you know, I got like green hair. What about you, Dave? And they started like in the mid 80s, probably, I'm imagining.
Yeah, so I would say that's accurate.
Yeah, so like, hey, let's go into rehab and like, let's stop being a band. And so that was their finale. And I really wanted to go to this new festival back then called Lollapalooza. And for whatever reason, my parents decided to go on a trip that weekend. And so I decided to have a party at my house instead of going to Lollapalooza. And so I missed the main stage of Jane's Addiction headlining, Susie and the Banshees, who I can only think of like one Susie and the Banshees song now. And don't ask me what it was. Living Color. In these times of racial strife, we need another band like Living Color. Nine Inch Nails, Fishbone, Ice-T and Body Count, Butthole Surfers, which Wikipedia says occasionally billed as BH Surfers. You know, like in Salt Lake City,
right,
couldn't put Butthole on a billboard, so they would put them as BH Surfers, I'm sure. Rollins Band, EBN, which I don't know what the hell an EBN is.
I think
that's something that my doctor says I'm going to get if I don't stop drinking beer. And Violent Femmes apparently opened the main stage.
That's pretty strong. Now, was the party that you threw, do you remember the party?
Oh, and was it was it was really good. Legendary, but it was good, dude.
Okay, so it was worth missing out on the first Lollapalooza.
Yeah, so, like, it was, I think I had just started dating my wife, so I think I wanted to, like, bed her. Honestly.
Okay.
So I think that's why I was like, I think I'm going to have sex with her, so I'm going to stay back. And I'm going to miss this show that I've totally wanted to see. Whatever an EBN is, I don't know. But the rest of these bands, I totally want to see.
But not as much as
seeing my wife's vag. No.
Right.
Vagine, as Howard would say.
Right, right.
Since I've been so in love with him. So, and then the side stage had just one act. Othello's Revenge. Sounds very anti-Shakespeare-y. But then in 1992, the side stage and the backstages and all the other stages, they became huge because the Red Hot Chili Peppers were the main stage headliner.
Right.
And then the side stage had Rage Against the Machine. And
yes, it's funny to go through some of the side stages.
Yeah, Cypress Hill,
yes.
House of Pain, somebody called Sweaty Nipples. I totally have heard of that. Stone Temple Pilots played the side stage in 1992.
Yeah,
holy God.
It was when the Beastie Boys were there in A Tribe Called Quest. I want to say, like, the Verve played the side stage.
Yeah, so you're talking about 1994.
Yes.
The Beastie Boys were on the main stage.
Yes. Lucius
Jackson played the side stage that year.
Yes, I remember that too.
Yeah, so the side stage became like a major thing. Like, if you just went to see the side stage, it would be one of the greatest shows you've ever seen. So Lollapalooza became a totally cool thing. And for whatever reason, then they started to go off the rails. They had Metallica, and then they had all sorts of, like, odd acts.
Well, the 90s scene kind of wore thin after a while.
Yeah. And then Sonic Youth became the main stage act, you know, main headliner in 95. And then again, Metallica again in 96. And it was like, you guys have really just gone off the rails. But then they chose Chicago as the place in the mid-aughts. And it became this explosion thing. But I still have never had the urge to go to it. But you've gone once by yourself, which I've always
down
given you
to,
credit for.
Yes, down to when it was, just a couple years ago.
Yeah, and this year you're going again. And who are the acts that you will be seeing and you recommend other people see at this year's Lollapalooza?
Well, okay. The only acts, well, I would, of course, recommend, because I like them, the Red Hot Chili Peppers and Jane's Addiction. As I have mentioned, that's the linchpin of why I'm going to this event. But as I was looking through all the list of bands, and it's kind of a funky thing now, because people really almost only go to festival shows now. So you need bands to fill out all of these stages. So sometimes when you see these shows, there may, during the course of a day, be 4 to 5 bands that you'd want to see, even though there's 35 bands that are there. And then the rest of them, that you kind of it's filler, and you kind of don't know where they come from.
It will do our Riot Fest show coming up in a few weeks, but like,
Riot Fest does a better job. I've already planned
out my Riot Fest, like, kind of, I'm going to hop over to this stage, and I want to see this band, and I want to do this thing. And then I'm always in the back of my mind, I'm like, I hope Jones wants to see those same bands. Otherwise, we might have a We might come to loggerheads. Yeah, beef.
There could be beef. We haven't figured it out yet.
I said loggerheads, like some old-timey term. You said beef.
Yeah.
All right, so I hope we don't have beef at the Riot Fest, but you don't sound like you're going to have beef with anyone. You can plan out your own, like, you know, hop, skip, and a jump to here, to there, wherever.
Right. So good. What I'm thinking, the initial 2 hours, it looks like I'm just going to leave open and just kind of walk around the festival.
Is this a Saturday or Friday?
It's a Saturday.
Okay.
So, and I'll see if there's a band that kind of catches my ear, like 2 years ago when I was walking around and I heard Blood Orange and it made me stop and I enjoyed them. So, but at 2:45, I'm going to see Whale's Own, The Joy Formidable.
Yeah, yeah. I like that band, actually.
So that's where it's going to, that's where my schedule performances starts off. Here we go.
Right. So this is apparently one of their newish tunes, Last Thing on My Mind, which the video is very disturbing. You seen the video?
I have seen the video. I have seen the video. Just brief snippets, because I'll play it if I even play the video in my place.
Yeah, I like this chick.
Yeah, and it's funny, they're from Wales, and the first time I ever heard them, something went off in my mind where I went, they're from Wales. And maybe it was like they sounded somewhat Florence and the Machine-like, I don't know.
Are they from Wales, too?
I believe Florence and the Machine are from Wales.
I only think of Tom Jones when I think of Wales.
And, well, they've got Catfish and the Bottlemen. The Wales has actually started cranking out some bands in the last few
years. Isn't Michael Douglas's wife from...
And Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Yeah, Zeta-Jones. She's from Wales, too.
Yes.
All right, so this is... I love this band, and I love... So that I guess that's their newish tune, which I'm not such a fan of, but I love this song from The Joy Formidable from years ago. This song right here, it's called Whirring.
Yes, this is great.
Big fan of this song. Big, big time. So this chick kind of has like a Deborah Harry feel to me a little bit.
Yeah, I can get that. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Like she kind of makes me feel kind of funny. Like she's probably very boring.
Isn't that what music's about?
Oh my God. Yeah, she really... Oh my God. Yeah.
So
it jams, dude, and like, and she's blonde and she's kind of cute or whatever. She's probably boring to talk to, so you're probably not going
to
want
to
meet her at the after show.
Yep, I don't need to. I don't need to talk to her. And then you're not going to the Joy Formidable after show.
And by the way, you have to put the article in there, people. It's the Joy Formidable. I'm going to see Joy Formidable. It's the Joy Formidable.
I always try to do that. I try to get the band's name right. In fact, funny of what you were mentioning, the after party. On Wednesday, I'm going to the House of Blues, and this just shows how music has changed so much and how it's presented and festival concerts and what have you. I'm going to see the Last Shadow Puppets.
Okay.
They are, it's Alex Turner from the Arctic Monkeys. He has this other band with Miles Kane. They came out with an album that I loved a couple years ago. They just came out with a new album a few weeks ago. They're playing Thursday night at Lollapalooza, but on Wednesday night, they are playing a Lollapalooza after party at the House of Blues. And it's before the Hot Lollapalooza starts. But they just know that that's a great hook, a title to put on there that will get people to buy a ticket. The after party.
Ugh.
On Wednesday night, before this festival starts, they're having an after party at 8 o'clock at night at the House of Blues for the Last Shadow Puppet. So I'm going to check that out. But I love that you don't even have to be true to what you're doing. You can just go, we'll just say it's an after party. People love after parties. It makes it seem exclusive.
And I think that might be the thing that rubs people the wrong way about Lollapalooza. It's so commercial. Every stage is branded.
It's branded. It's sponsored. Although you had said, stage.
Yeah. You had said that like it wasn't like as commercial as you expected it to be. Like it could have been even more commercial.
It could have been more commercial. When I went in 2014, my experience with it was at being a guy who was in his 40s. It was really, it's such a well-oiled machine where if you want to look at it from an alternative rock perspective, yeah, maybe that's a downer. You want it to be grittier. You want it to feel like now, but young kids don't care about rock music. So the fact that they transitioned and turned it into a machine where there's so many food and drink vendors that you can just walk up, wave your bracelet, walk right into the show, and you're good to go. I don't have a problem with that.
And like, it's such a stark difference from the old Lala, where it was like, we're going to the side stage because the Jim Rose Circus is going to have people swinging cinder blocks from their testicles.
Yeah, they don't really. There's no freak show stuff.
I didn't see
any freak show stuff. And in fact, I definitely was not the oldest guy there. There were people that were walking around. There was a couple that walked past me when I was at Lollapalooza that reminded me exactly of your wife's parents.
Oh.
It's almost become city event. No, but I mean, you don't expect to see the Aprondux at the Lollapalooza.
Yeah.
You know.
And you met people that were like kind of flying solo. They were like, yeah, man, I'm just here to hang out, man. I love the music. Didn't you meet somebody that like he had retired and this is all he does?
Yes. And now he just goes from, he kind of missed out on that. There was this guy that was walking around. He had the shirt off and he was just trying to live for the first time at like the age of 57. Going around to concerts and music. It was kind of, there was a part of me where I was like, that's awesome, good for him. But then it felt really weird because I was waiting for the Arctic Monkeys to come on and AFI was playing and he's like, oh, AFI, I love him, man. And he was like screaming out. It was just, it felt a little odd. There was a part of me where it's like, you're loving what you're doing now. You can be footloose and fancy free.
Yeah.
But there is just, whether you want to admit it or not, you've missed it.
Yeah. The
train left the station and you're running down that track trying to catch it.
He's on one of those little pump cars.
Yes, he's pumping like crazy.
Yeah.
It's not the same
as a train. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like he married some shrew and then he was just like, oh my God, dude, I lived my whole life and I got this crappy pension for you and this sucks.
Yes.
Now I'm gonna go around to festivals. Like Coachella and Bonnaroo, Lala, whatever the hell.
Yeah, so he's trying to live his experience. So my point in this, talking about even addressing that guy is there's so many people that go there now. It's dominated by young people. Hmm. But you could go there at any age and you're not going to feel. It's more of a city event, really.
Did you get a blumpy when you went?
No, I didn't.
Oh. Did you come close?
No.
Oh.
I was there for the music.
Do you think that you'll get a blumpy this time?
No.
Oh. Who else are you seeing?
So then after the Joy Formidable, I'm going to go see Nathaniel Ratliff and the Night Sweats. And I'm largely going to see them because it's been suggested to me strongly that I should go see them. Now, I've heard some of their music before.
Yeah.
It didn't totally grab me, so we'll see if I see them live. Sometimes that kind of turns the corner. I heard the Foals live.
The Foals? Like baby horses?
No, those? A band.
I know, but I mean, is that what they're named after? Like baby horses? The Foals?
The Foals, it's that spelling. And when I heard them
this
live...
This is Nathaniel.
Yeah, so I'm hoping maybe that'll be the same experience if I see Nathaniel.
I gotta be honest, so like, I don't... Like his song, S.O.B., like,
yes,
give me a drink!
That's the one I know, yeah.
Give me a... Like, that's on... Like, it's on alternative radio, and that offends me. So I guess it depends... It depends on, like, the format that's playing the song that impacts whether I like the song or not. Like, this sounds old-timey, and, like, if this were on some, like, old blues show, I'd be like, oh, new kind of bluesy-type, jazzy-type stuff. I dig it.
Honestly, I'm guessing...
This is an alternative to me.
I'm guessing that I will go see them in that... Enjoy it. But we'll see.
I bet the crowd will be super into it. So like in this video, like
yeah,
this
but
guy.
With a band, it depends. If the crowd is annoyingly fanish, that even puts the band in my eyes, or musical taste, at more of a deficit. So a band that's going crazy, or fans that are going crazy for a band, that can kind of put me off.
Yeah, so this song is Nathaniel Ratliff and the... I want to put Ratcliffe. Is it Ratliff?
It's Ratliff.
Ratliff and the Night Sweats, which I have every night, right? I always think it's like my liver is trying to like get all the toxins out. This is called I Never Never Get Old. Right, he looks like Chris Farley in this video.
He's not in great shape.
No. So he, like, that's what I think. I think it's going to be a big old beer-drinking party, and you're going to be in the midst of it.
Yeah, we'll see. And it's something I can always walk away from.
You always pretend it never happened.
Yeah, and that's the nice thing about these festival concerts.
I honestly think that'll be a good time. I think that, like, his music, again, the venue so far for me has been alternative radio. XRT in town plays it, AAA adult, album alternative plays it. But for whatever reason, for the first time I heard it, it was on alternative radio, and that just rubbed me the wrong way. So yeah. It depends. If I hear a pop song on a pop station, I it's one thing. If I hear it on a mom pop station, like The Mix here in Chicago,
yes,
like that, like I go like, oh, that doesn't feel right.
Well,
I don't like that song now.
Right. And so when I was looking at the schedule before the Joy Formidable, I saw that the ex-ambassadors were playing, and I knew the name. I'm like, do I like them? I don't remember. And then I went to play, and it was that whoa, hold on to me, that song.
Oh my God, the worst.
The crying song.
Yeah.
And then that hit me. That was like the Eric and Kathy type soundtrack. I was like, no, well, the hell with that. I don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
So that's why I was like, well, I'm definitely going to see the Joy Formidable now.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that kind of, it does bum me out when I hear, I know you have so many bands, you have so many slots to fill.
Mm-hmm.
There are going to be all sorts of different acts that get in there that maybe you don't think are a right fit. But it bums me out more than anything, almost even more than how EDM music has gotten into Lollapalooza, when a band like the ex-ambassadors gets in there, like that mix, that those mix type bands. I hate that. It even puts me out when I hear that Lollapalooza, they're shilling tickets on The Mix for Lollapalooza. It's like, oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Makes me queasy.
And like something lame like, all right, like name the purse that you're going to win, and maybe there's some Lolla tickets in your purse.
Yeah, it's any of the edgy acts that would be at Lollapalooza, they don't mention, but they're like, the ex-ambassadors will be there. Oh, what
yeah, that's right.
Show.
I mean, the 25th anniversary, and the first Lolla was Jane's Addiction, who had only been out for a few years. Nine Inch Nails, who had only been out for a few years. Ice-T and Body Count, like pre-Cop Killer, so prescient these days. Rollins Band, before Henry Rollins had gray hair. Like, that was the first Lolla.
Yeah.
Like, it was kind of counterculture.
Yeah, now it's kind of...
It's got
a soccer mom hint to it.
So, yeah, and who wants to be part of soccer mom? So then you're going to see. Then you're going to see. And I know he's your bae.
Yes.
Yeah. You want to have like 100 of this guy's babies.
I love this guy.
Yeah. Yeah. This is Perry Farrell.
You want the real shit? Come to Jay's Addiction.
Yeah. That's right. He just ripped on Facebook a second ago, but he's like, if you like Facebook, be on Facebook. If you want to rub up against people, come to see Jane's Addiction.
I know, and I love this guy.
He's great.
Live. He's funny. The band sounds great. I'm so looking forward to this. So after Nathaniel Ratliff,
and I'm playing him like talking because I think that his entertainment, from what you've reported, is more in his banter.
No,
like he's a rock star.
I think that, well, I'll say this. The music's great, but when he goes into the banter, which normally when rock stars go into banter, it's like, wah, wah. Because no,
they have nothing to say and they're empty heads.
When he goes into banter, it's really, it's still part of the show. You still feel like you're seeing something. You're a part of a happening.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, you had reported that when you saw him at Riot Fest, you were like, he's so cool, and band's so cool, even
they
though
were
they're
great.
All the Olsons now, like, they don't wear their age. They seem timeless somehow.
Oh, yeah, they're still Lollapalooza-worthy.
Yeah.
This is
from Live in NYC. Like, he's, like hawking, like... Dolls. Just talking to the crowd. Like the guy seen. Yeah, like. He's talking like a Dave Navarro doll.
Yeah.
That you can buy. Yeah. Yeah, see, he's like, yeah. But he's shilling, but nobody cares.
No, he's great at it. He's an artist, he's a performer, he's a businessman, he's everything. Oh, the guy's great.
Like what you think of a rock star, like a Mick Jagger or any of those dudes, or like this guy, like you, they have a magnetism where you can't take your eyes off of them.
Yes, he has that, absolutely.
That no charisma. And I don't think he gets enough credit for that.
No, not at all, not at all. So I'm looking forward to that. Beforehand, between Nathaniel Ratliff and the Night Sweats and Jane's Addiction, I'll probably maybe try to catch another random band as I get something to eat, because I have to try to get something else in my ears, because unfortunately, before Jane's Addiction, I'll have to go listen to Mute Math.
Mute Math?
Mute Math. And Mute Math sounds, they're very 21 Pilots-ish.
Oh, the worst.
Yes, but they're playing on the stage opposite of Jane's Addiction. So the whole crowd will go to that opposite side. I'll get a good spot for Jane's Addiction. I'll watch that show. And then after Jane's Addiction is done, then there'll be some act called Grimes.
It's an act.
An act. What's this girl called Grimes?
That's right. She's like a little chippy. And like when you see her videos online, you're like, oh yeah, this is gonna be awesome. And then it's like a little teenager frolicking through the mall, and it's like it never gets awesome.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because
this is Grimes.
Yeah, no, it's concerning. Because I do value my time.
Let me fast forward a little bit. This is more Grimes. Oh, same song. This is called California by Grimes.
I will be bringing my headphones as well.
Yeah, you don't love this?
This is... Well, you know, here's the thing. I saw her in an interview because I went to look... When I saw that she was... My hope was that it was going to be Jane's Addiction right into the Red Hot Chili Peppers. But then when I saw that it was Jane's Addiction into Grimes into the Red Hot Chili Peppers, I thought, okay, well, who is Grimes? I saw her, and she was doing some interview out with a radio station in Seattle, and then she did a live song. And she did this thing where it was almost like that Burnhoff, where she was like making a noise like, and she recorded it. And then she would make another like, and then she did that 3 or 4 times and gave some, there was some kind of rhythm for her to sing over. And she performed, and I was like, okay, well, kind of respect the creativity. Maybe this will help pass things for an hour. Mm-hmm. The thing that I saw, she sounded like that band Churches. Mm. And I was like, okay, that could pass for 45 minutes to an hour. But then when you were playing what you were just playing, that has me a little worried that I'm going to have to spend an hour sitting in that while I'm waiting for the Red Hot Chili Peppers to follow up Jane's
Addiction. This is where you drop your molly into your
mouth. You know what? This may be the time that I should start doing some drugs.
That's right. This isn't so bad. This is called Flesh Without Blood, Life in the Vivid Dream. And in the video, she's like at various parts, she's like Marie Antoinette on a tennis court. So, and she looks kind of hot.
Okay, well, so, she did look, when she was in that interview with that radio station in Seattle, she did look cute.
Yeah, so maybe I could see her spinning around, and like, if it's a sweaty day, it might be kind of awesome for you.
We'll see. This may be a day that I start doing drugs. So what I'll do is I always wear cargo shorts, so maybe I'll just keep some drugs in one of the pockets of my cargo shorts, which will be great.
I thought
going
you were
going to Lollapalooza.
Say, I always wear a condom.
No.
At first you said, and I was like, he always wears a condom when he goes to Lolla.
Come on now.
Awesome.
Control yourself.
Dude,
no,
put one on your little nubby if you're going to drop some molly, though.
I should just be careful. No, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
That's not a bad idea. So I will do that. I will bust out a gym hat, and I will get some drugs. Which is going to be great because this will be the first time that I ever go buy drugs. So I'll be at this show, and I guarantee you, in a moment of Jones awk panic, I will just go asking for drugs. I won't even know what to ask for. Does anyone have any drugs?
No, I have a feeling you're going to ask an undercover cop. You're going to be arrested, and I'm going to have to, and I'm not going to want to, but I'm going to have to fire you from the show.
Oh, come on.
Nobody who does drugs is on this show.
Okay.
So then, the headliners.
Yes, the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and I've actually never seen them. One of the few bands of the 90s that I liked that I have not yet seen.
I guess you were not at Lala 2 like I was at the
I
New World
not.
Music
I know,
Theater.
I always like to throw that around.
Yeah, well, I was a Lala veteran. This is their song, Dark Necessities. You're a fan?
So I got the new album. And this is obviously the title track that's off of it. You know, I let the song build here, and then right after the building, when the Flea bass line kicks in, I'm like, okay, this sounds like newer Red Hot Chili Peppers. Yeah. They're not like the Funk Monsters anymore. And I was like, okay, this here sounds like Red Hot Chili Peppers come to be okay with. Then this kind of sounds like Seals and Crawfish or something.
I think it's his mustache. His mustache is Anthony Kiedis' mustache.
It's funny
weird.
You point out the mustache. I would love if it went away. There was a funny irony to it for like a year, but he's had it now for like 3 or 4.
He's got to keep it at this point because like you and other people are calling for it. Like, that's not very rock to like give in to the critics.
I know, but I want it to go away. So I've listened. The rest of the album, who knows? Maybe if they play some cuts off the album live, it'll get me to like it a little bit more. Because the album that preceded this, what was it, With You? It's not By the Way. By the Way. Yeah, maybe it was By the Way.
Monarchy of Roses on it, but I don't know what it was.
They had some songs on there that I was still cool with. Although I'm starting to wonder if Josh Klinghoffer, because you look at what's different. John Frusciante's gone. Josh Klinghoffer is in. Is Josh slowly killing the band? Because he's out of their age range.
He seems younger, millennial.
He's millennial. No, he's in his late 30s, but he has that millennial ilk. And he has just that real wispy, wimpy. Yes. Yeah. He does. He even makes a point like, I've told these guys I will never take my shirt off. I'm the Southern California kid that wears 3 layers of clothing.
Oh, really?
And I think maybe, because, you know, a lead guitarist is very important to the sound.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm starting
to
wonder.
Meanwhile, like Frusciante, like, you know, he was very understated. It was Flea's. It was one of the only bands I've ever known where the bass was like the lead.
Yes.
And the guitar was like adding in accents to the bass line.
But Frusciante was strong. And whenever you heard John Frusciante's moments to kind of grab the bull by the horns, he did it. He's a strong rock guitarist.
Totally. Like, Under the Bridge was like a weird like guitar song. Like, having played that in front of people, like, it was weird to learn it. I was like, who made this up? Like, this is odd.
But the Red Hot Chili Peppers, that was their thing. They were odd.
And so, why did he leave the band? Did they fire him?
No, he didn't. No, they didn't fire him. He felt he had toured enough. He had some other creative things that he wanted to do.
That's code for, like, I've got so much dough.
No, because he's actually, well, yes, that is code for he's got enough
million
dough.
He can
do
what
he wants. But I think he's still on good terms with the band because he is the godfather of Flea's daughter. And I guess I've seen them in interviews. I guess they still keep in touch and they're kind of close.
Have you ever seen the drummer from that band? Whoever the hell his name is.
Chad Smith?
Chad Smith, right.
Oh, with, I know what you're going to say, with Will Ferrell.
Doing the Will Ferrell.
It is impossible when they're next to each other to tell who's who.
It's so good.
It's
so
crazy.
Good, dude.
It is crazy. They look just like each other. And it's funny because Will Ferrell is a leading man in movies, and when Chad Smith moved out to Los Angeles, he moved out. I read in Anthony Kiedis' book,
Scar Tissue,
which is a totally recommend. It's a phenomenal book. But when I read that book, it is a pick to click. After several years of being in the Red Hot Chili Peppers, it struck Anthony Kiedis. You know, I never really sat down and really got to know Chad. We've performed together. We've gone to bars and parties afterwards, but I've never just got to know him.
Like, weird.
So after years and years of being in the band together, they sat down and he found out that Chad Smith didn't even move out to Southern California to be a rock star. He wanted to be a leading man. He wanted to be in film.
Oh.
And he was also playing in bands on the side, and that's what took off for him.
Weird. Oh, I hate people like him.
I know.
I do.
I know. And
I
then
really
he scores
do,
the
dude.
Red Hot Chili Peppers.
No.
And then, but it's almost, you wonder if we are in a video game where everything's predetermined.
Yeah.
Because there's a Chad Smith in the Red Hot Chili Peppers and a Will Ferrell who's a leading man in movies, and they both look like each other. And at least what we know from Chad Smith, he wanted to be Will Ferrell. And Will Ferrell isn't so terrible on drums.
God. Yeah.
Isn't it weird?
That's the... Yeah, it's minorly frustrating. Minorly frustrating. Like, whoever's playing me in the video game, they suck. They suck at this video game. I gotta be honest.
And they've pulled me into your part of the video game.
I know.
So that sucks,
They're
too.
Like, yes, and now I'm gonna introduce this lame character, Brian Jones, into Mike's video game. He's gonna be dragged down into the dearth for a few years.
We've gotta spin out of this.
Hey, man, I want to smell your fingers when you come back from Lala. Have I ever told you that?
It's just going to smell like stale beer and Molly.
Oh,
and not the Molly you want to smell.
Oh, yeah, baby.
When it comes to finding a holistic doctor near you, where can you turn for help? When you need a cancer doctor who will advocate for a non-surgical, non-chemical course of treatment, where can you find her? When you need a chiropractor or acupuncturist, when you need help with ailments that many doctors and even hospitals just plain turn away, like Lyme disease, who can help you with natural solutions and strategies for diabetes? When you need help to find an integrative, functional, complementary, alternative approach, option, and practitioner, the Health Freedom Network is there. Since 2009, the Health Freedom Network has been a leading resource for natural medicine and health information and research. Now we're also your best resource to give you access to the top docs in a number of specialties, from cancer to stroke, and in modalities from chiropractic to dentistry. The Health Freedom Network's directory at healthfreedomnetwork.com. Better information for better choices. Find your new health practitioner at www.healthfreedomnetwork.com.
Jones and Mike Worldwide at jonesandmike.com. 312-957-7210. Hashtag Jones and Mike.
So the millennials that you'll be partying with, Jones, do you think it would be cool if you were to, like, go, like, I went to Lollapalooza in 1994 and I saw the Beasties. Think they'll, like, resonate with that? Think they'll, like, totally vibe with that,
you know,
old man approach?
You want a definition of the millennials? The millennials that I hang with, and I hang with many millennials.
Yeah, it's weird.
They're not. There's one girl that's going to Lollapalooza, and she's only going because she wants to cut it off her bucket list. She's like, I've never been. I feel like I should have that experience one time.
The thing that you're looking forward to going, it's on their bucket list.
Yeah, it's just like, I want to go. I'll just go one time. Because they're just hardwired into pop music. When I work with them, they can listen to either top 40 pop music or country all day.
Oh my God.
Where it's just that
really?
Rotation
country?
Of eight songs. Well, country's pop now.
Yeah, it is.
So
yeah.
It's just the rotation of the same eight songs. Doesn't bother them. Makes me crazy. And now Lollapalooza is rolling around, and I kind of thought, well, wouldn't it be cool if some of them decided, hey, I'm going on Saturday too. I'll go over there with you. No, none of them have any interest in it. The one girl's going because she's got a free ticket. And she wants to cross it off her bucket list to say that she did Lollapalooza once. And it was so funny. She came to me with the schedule and she goes, you know, well, what do you think I should do? Where should I go? And I'm like, oh my God, I'm 42. You're 25.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be telling me where to go. That was so crazy. And like, even a week ago when I went and saw Wolf Mother at the Double Door.
Yeah, great pics on Facebook.com/JonesandMike of you with the lead singer of Wolf Mother, Andrew Stockdale.
Andrew Stockdale. And Lord, let's a moment of silence for the Double Door.
Oh, yeah, it is going away and being replaced by a national chain called the Shake Shack.
Yes.
But you and Andrew, will you talk about that a little bit, briefly?
Well,
what the hell did you do? Do you call him Andrew or do you call him Andy? What do you call him?
I just call him A.
And how do you, so you approach A like, hey man, love the show, it was great, you're in the bar under the Double Door?
We were
at
the Double Door, and as the show wrapped up, I was with my buddy, Brian, and we were hanging out at the back, and then the show ends. The show was phenomenal. Excellent rock show. Whenever they're in town, go see Wolf Mother. The show ended, and my buddy Brian was like, dude, let's go downstairs, the bar downstairs at the Double Door. I bet you they'll come out and they'll hang out.
So the Double Door holds like 550 people.
It holds just under 500.
Okay. And
then
the bar underneath is like 80.
Yeah, not even, I bet. Yeah. Not even, like 60. So we went downstairs, and how great is that? The show wraps up, the vast majority of the people walk outside, mm-hmm. and then the hardcore fans can go downstairs, hang out in the bar, where they seal off the doors, and then there's another exit that opens up in a separate area.
Yeah.
So you can kind of exit whenever you want, but in the meantime, they're like closing up shop upstairs. It's like this well-oiled machine, but it's still this grimy, gritty place.
I don't think most people know that that's where the bands enter and exit. Otherwise, that bar would be much more packed.
Right.
Like, we happened to stumble upon it. We went there years ago to get Mike Doty from Soul Coughing to sign off on letting us use one of Soul Coughing's tunes in our independent movie. And we didn't want to, like, we paid for a ticket, but we didn't want to hang out upstairs. So we went downstairs where it was like, wow, there's just nobody down here. This is great. And then he happened through, and I went, there he is. And I stalked him, went up to him, confronted him. It went poorly. And then he was like, I have to go and wait in my dressing room now. And I was like, oh, that's where the dressing room is? I didn't know that. So that is like a little known secret.
So, and that's in Black News. I knew that. My buddy Brian knew that. And we went downstairs, and I have to say, my encounter with Andrew Stockdale went much better.
So was he like playing pool? How did this go down?
No, he just walks out. He has a beer in hand. He walked out, and I was going to go approach him and just try to say, hey, great show, maybe get a picture with him. So I gave my camera phone to my buddy, and I was like, I'm going to go up there. I'm going to introduce myself and try to get a picture. If girls start walking up to him, I'm not competing with that. I'm just going to walk right out.
And, like, he's like a gnarly dude. Like, his hair looks like Yahoo Serious.
He is, but chicks like that. They like
the big personality. He looks like he smells. Does he smell?
No. The nicest guy. I walked up there, and I just like, hey, Andrew, I just want to let you know, that was one of the best rock shows I've seen in years. He squared around, looked right at me. I was like, oh, really? Really? You really felt it was that good? And he engaged me like a friend, and I got weirded out because I was like, oh my God, I have to come up with more things to say. We're talking now. So he was the nicest guy. He was talking about how he's going to Pittsburgh the next night, and he's opening for Guns N' Roses.
And I'm not that excited about it, but I am entering. He was opening for Guns N' Roses?
Yeah, they opened for Guns N' Roses out east on the East Coast.
Like at the whatever stadium the Pirates play at or whatever?
The Steelers.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
So he played at the Double Door in Chicago.
Yes, and then two nights later, he was playing Lincoln Field.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, that band's really, really good, dude. Like, I never really listened to them until you were, like, showing me pictures of you with him. And I was like, all right, I ought to give these guys a chance. And they've been around for
10 years. Their debut came out in 2006.
Okay. All right. I'll buy that baby. And but they've been around for forever. No, Mother came out before 2006.
No.
Look that up.
I will look it up.
We
right
will look
now.
It up while we're discussing this. So, but they are great. They're great. And he seems like he smells, but you're saying he doesn't.
No.
And so while you're
super
talking
friendly,
to him,
super friendly, regular guy.
He was in the present and he was engaged with you, Brian Jones.
Yes. Yes. Couldn't have been nicer.
And then he looked into the camera and he said, listen to Jones and Mike.
No.
Or you'll go to hell.
No, but you see in the picture, you've seen the pictures, it doesn't look like we're kind of people. Just the way he's like holds the beer up. There's one where he holds
the beer up. People, yeah.
Like, no, but like, like we're folks. Like, we're buddies.
Yeah.
And he's just got his arm around me and he's holding up his bottle of beer. Like, he looks like he had no problem being there. Like, I wasn't on his time in any way.
No, totally.
I was very much a fan. I was very, Wolf Mother came out in 2005 in Australia,
Jesus.
And then in 2006 it was released in the U.S.
Mother, was that like recent? Like,
yes.
It felt like Mother was like 2002.
And here's the weird thing. So it was released, Mother was released on June 17th of 2006. Mm. And here's the weird thing about getting back to the millennials and the rock scene. Mm-hmm. So the next night, or I'm sorry, the next morning after I went back,
you're all
to
high
work,
on it. Like,
I'm all buzzing about
with Andy.
Oh yeah, because I posted the pictures of Andrew Stockdale on Facebook. I'm like, good weekend, man, partying with Wolf Mother at the Double Door, and the people that I work with, the millennials that I work with, predominantly women, cute girls, very hip, very, not wallflowers at all. Like, they are
sluts.
A great
representative.
No, they are not. They are not. They're nice young women.
Great.
But they're an example of of young millennials that would be out and tapped into what is now. So I said to one of the girls who's 26, I said, yeah, you know, I saw Wolf Mother last night. They were great. She's like, oh, that's nice. Like, she was my mom. She goes, who is the Wolf Mother? And I was like, are you kidding me? You don't, you know the song, woman, I said woman.
Oh, you start singing.
And I started singing
it
to her. She's like, and she just looked at me like, no, no. And I'm thinking to myself, this isn't a matter of, this is just a complete matter of different taste now. It's not me being old, because the reality is, she's 26. When Woman came out, she would have been 16.
Yeah.
Like, you would have known. Like, all the millennials that are, all the millennials that I
work with. Unless you just listen to, like, you know, pop radio.
I know, but nobody at work knew, and they all would have been 15, 16, 17. You would have at least heard, you know, The Darkness. I believe in a thing called love.
Yeah,
you know, you
yeah.
would have known those songs.
Don't ever do that again.
Even, I don't know, I kind of think I hit that note.
Yeah.
But even when we were... I'm trying to think, like, when we were 16.
Yeah, so when we were 32, we expected them to be listening to rock music when they were 16.
Well, which would have been normal. If you're 15, 16, 17, shouldn't you have been listening
to thing,
Wolf
Mother? Like,
or
the
aware
thing.
Of it?
What
aware of it.
Okay, so in Chicago, what would have been playing, what station would have been playing Wolf Mother?
Q101 would have played
Q101 and maybe The Loop. And
no.
I'm telling you, like, very rarely, maybe just because we got paid to do it because I was working there then. That's it. There's one station in town.
Just,
so if those chicks didn't listen to Q101 back then, that's it.
I know, but sure, there still should have been some other outlet, MTV, something.
No, there was no MTV back then.
Okay.
They were already playing, like, black shows, you know, like black, like, reality shows and stuff. Like, MTV and, like, VH1 became, like, black reality show television back then. And starting then and to today.
Well, they also had, what was Jersey Shore?
Okay, right, we're right. So,
but they became,
like,
reality-oriented. Got it.
Arab, you know, it seemed like it was Italians, but no, it turns out they were all Arabs. Arab reality TV. So it was very strange.
Were any of them Arabs?
Like, they were all, like, Lebanese,
well, I know,
it turns out.
Well, the one girl, Snooks, was Peruvian, yeah.
Yeah, so they were
but
all,
anyway.
Like, they, none of them were Italian. But they all passed them off like they're Italian to us. Like, it was all, like, one big lie.
But it's still just a shock.
But no music.
I know, true, but it's still just a shock to me. They were a platinum artist back then, and young people wouldn't know it. Even other millennials that I talked to, I remember last year I was trying to get tickets to go see Jack White, and I was on the phone, and, you know, oh man, I can't, I got cut off. Or, no, it was on. I was online, I'm on the phone. I was online, oh, I got cut off, I'm trying to get, and they're like, oh, what are you doing, what are you doing? No, I want to go see Jack White. And one of the guys, again, modern, hip, plugged-in millennial, goes, oh, who is he? Your uncle?
Who is he?
And I'm like,
he's got to be laughing, and then he, like, types to his friend on chat.
I'm like, no.
I just messed with the old man again.
No, I go, no. You don't know who Jack White is? He's like, no. Who is he?
Your uncle?
I go, yeah. I'm like, yeah. And I was like, yeah, and Keith Moon's my grandfather. Like, what? And I was like, I go, no, like,
which
the
joke,
White Stripes.
Because he's dead.
I go, no, the White Stripes.
Oh, my God.
You know, and he's like, oh, right, Jack White, he was in the White Stripes.
Oh, he had heard of them. That's
I
good.
Know, but still, you didn't think you'd have to pump the tires that much.
Yeah, it's like, you know, when we were, like, kids, like, hearing that somebody was in, like, Rainbow or something. Like, oh, well, yeah, he was in Rainbow. Okay, I've heard of them, kind of.
But you at least had some sense. I'm not even going after, like, small underground acts. Like,
also, where are these kids going to hear of this stuff?
Well,
like,
I know,
you know, on
now
Spotify, like, unless somebody adds them to a playlist, how are they going to hear about it?
Well, then that's the thing. That's why I'm looking at Lollapalooza 10, 20, 30 years from now, and it's all just going to be. It will be there because people like to go to an event. This Lollapalooza sold out before they even announced the bands, which I say is a mark that it's the death of rock. Mm-hmm. If you don't even have to know who you're going to go see, but you know you want to be a part of an event, I think it'll just become one giant drug and EDM festival.
Which doesn't necessarily turn me off. I gotta be honest, the way you're
Why?
Describing it.
You like...
Well,
yeah.
I don't know.
You love drugs.
I think that if you have Molly, dude, the EDM goes down smooth.
Well, yes, I think that's the case, because when I was there in 2014, I happened to be by the EDM stage, and I could tell everybody was whacked out. And I was like, that's what this is about.
They're barfing, and then they're dancing, and then they're barfing, and then they're dancing, and then they're fingering each other.
Well,
this is incredible.
Say that.
And then they're barfing. Yes. Oh, my God. So you're looking forward to this Lala, but you're not necessarily looking forward to Lala 2045.
Yeah, but my bands probably are not playing in 2045.
Like,
I don't know. Maybe the Catfish and the Bottlemen will still make it. Who knows?
Yeah. Like, I dig them. I do dig them.
I do like them. And here's the funny thing. You like them. You're in your 40s. Mm. I was talking to two other guys who like them. They were in their 40s. My other millennial friends, who's Catfish and the Bottlemen? What, you're going to see Catfish and who?
Yeah, because I mean...
I just bought tickets to go see them.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
You don't even ask me.
Well, no, because you always are like,
Well, I don't know. Well, I don't know until you ask me. Where are they playing?
But then here's the thing. They're from Wales, and you're always like, oh, you and your Brit puppets.
No! What are you talking about? My favorite guy is from Wales. Jones.
Okay. Well, do you want to go see
Catfish?
And
Joy Formidable.
Okay, great.
From Wales.
Great.
I like two Wales acts.
Then when we're done with the show, you can go online. They're at the Riviera, and we can go watch Catfish and the Bottlemen together.
All right. What day of the week?
I don't remember. I think it might be a Saturday.
Oh, well, if it's a Saturday, I'm in.
I'll look that up during the break.
Some bish.
Well.
Who are you going with?
I'm just going to see him by myself.
Oh, well, Jesus Christ. You're going by yourself?
That's
Invite
right.
a guy, dude. I like that band.
Right,
you know why? Because they have a guitar.
They do have a guitar.
I just want a guitar in my band. Yes.
And a bass.
All right. Do you fall down on Camp Kanye or Camp Taylor is what I want to know next on Jones.
I've been very happy with the fish oil that I've received. I trust that it's PCB, mercury-free, it's clean, it's wild-caught, and it's the best stuff that I found.
Chris is just one of thousands of satisfied Pacific Rim customers around the world and here in Chicago. You need omega-3s daily, but most of us here in Chicago do not get nearly enough of them from our diet. Even worse, if you're like me, you eat too much beef, and that drives up your omega-6s. Those are the omegas that lead to inflammation in your joints and in your arteries. As I like to say, omega-3s counteract the beef sandwiches. They lower cholesterol, reduce inflammation, joint and back pain, boost brain function and eyesight, improve circulation and performance, open your lungs, and give you a healthier heart. Why are you not getting all of these benefits from Pacific Rim Omegas? Try Pacific Rim for free. Just pay the shipping. This is an exclusive offer just for listeners of this radio station. Go to radio.mydailyomega.com and get your free trial of Pacific Rim. Go to radio.mydailyomega.com.
Jones and Mike Worldwide at jonesandmike.com. 312-957-7210. Hashtag Jones and Mike.
The country is seemingly embroiled in racial conspiracies and strife every day, Jones.
That's true.
We've certainly been big. I think we've been at the leading edge of the racial discussion in America. In fact, I believe America's talking about race because of us.
Well, I don't know if they're talking about race because of us, but I would say we do talk about it more than other people. We're willing to talk about it more than other people.
Yeah.
We take stronger opinions than other people. I think we are the best at it.
Yeah, everyone else is little panty waists. They can't bring themselves to really talk about race the way that we can. Because we have nothing to lose, frankly. And I think that's really all
and
boils
that's our
down
strength.
To. Yeah, yeah. Don Lemon's got tons to lose. He can't talk about race, honestly.
Jones and Mike,
Yeah.
They've got nothing to lose.
Almost, virtually nothing to lose.
Just a Honda Pilot and a little Saab 9.5.
Yeah, how dare you? How dare you? So this week, of course, there were cop shootings and lorries running over people, blah, blah, blah. But it's death and destruction, mayhem, terror, mayhem. Toss me a sissy, so sucker, slay him. You know, it's been a total LL Cool J song all week long. However, this week also featured this beef, as you pointed out.
It was beef. It was big beef.
They call it beef now, Mike. Beef between Kanye West and Taylor Swift, which they've had beefs for years.
Right.
But this week, it became, like, hardcore because Taylor...
The tide may have turned.
Yes. Now, finally, America can rally behind the true hero in this tale, Kanye West.
I cannot stand Kanye West. He irritates me very much.
Yeah.
Some of his music I like, but more often than not, the music is even now.
I have never heard any of his music that
never?
I liked.
Oh,
no,
got it.
None
okay,
of it.
Yeah, yeah. No, but you've heard it.
Did he do this like long like album like Out of the Closet, or was am I thinking of like am I thinking of the guy from Chicago that did that?
Oh, R. Kelly.
R. Kelly. Did
oh, that is
four
the best.
Part, out of the
trapped
closet,
in the closet
or whatever.
Four parts. It's up to 27.
Oh, really?
Oh, it's gone on and on. Where there was a gay love affair that was trapped in the closet,
oh,
and it involved
Jesus.
The local preacher, and
oh.
now someone's
oh,
getting
God.
Killed. It's crazy. It's like a 27 part. It's it's like Ulysses. It just goes on and on.
It's the Odyssey. On. Yeah,
the Odyssey. Yeah. Yes.
All right, but that's not Kanye. Kanye just puts out things that I typically don't like but I hear them in small snippets. I've never heard like a whole album start to finish, I must confess.
Yeah, you know, I haven't heard the whole album start to finish, but some of his earlier songs, I will say, I did like.
And so you don't like him as a person, though. Let's be honest.
No, he irritates me.
Most people are put off by him.
Yeah, he's braggadocious. He's obnoxious. He's one of these guys that is so addicted to staying in the headlines. I don't even believe his outrage. I don't even believe his point of view. And the fact that he wound up with the Kardashian family, to me, almost...
Seems calculated.
Cements that.
Yeah.
Yes. So he's really irritated me. I've had very little time for him over the years. Particularly, you know, it really picked up after several years ago when Taylor Swift won an MTV Music
like
Award.
Best Song of the Year.
And
not
he
some
charged
nonsense.
Up there and took the award out of her hands and said, yeah, I respect you as an artist, but blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
This art
Beyonce deserved this. Yeah.
And then that just kind of became his thing. And I really thought, what kind of jerk does that? It had to be so intimidating to see this guy charging at you and strong-arm the award off. So after that point, I just...
And she seems like such
back.
A like a little Aphrodite, little like waifish, like elfin, like little daisy, little flower... And it feels like especially in light of all of this racial strife of black on white, it feels like that was like the mean, like what the old Nazi propaganda would say is like the mean black man like storming up on stage and like totally grabbing it from the waifish little white girl and
yes.
like subjugating her in front of the world and then like totally like grabbing the mic and just doing his thing like they must be stopped like this whole like propaganda thing. It felt like it was contrived. I never really believed that thing.
Well, it did at times feel that way. Now, I never went really that deep on it to think, was this something that was planned out? Mm. But after that event several years ago, it was something that really played favorably for Taylor Swift. She got a lot of sympathy out of it, and Kanye West got the attention that he so desires.
It worked out for both of them.
Yes. Kanye West just loves attention. Controversial attention doesn't bother him. Controversial attention for an artist like Taylor Swift, it's a problem.
And let's be honest, the people that dig Kanye probably dig, like, yeah, the black man's getting blamed. I love it. I'm all for it. I love it. I love the black man. And the people who are like, oh my God, the white girl is totally being subjugated by the black man. Like, I'm totally on team, you know, Taylor, you know.
Right.
Like, it worked out for both of them. It was a total win-win for both of them.
It was a win-win, but it was, it really did. It still played out in this, like, organized, ugly, racial to and fro. Mm-hmm. That was, you know, really unfortunate.
Although they didn't really characterize it as a racial thing. They characterized it as, like, he's a lout and he charged the stage.
No, but they didn't. But you know that a lot of people in watching it took it to that point.
Right.
I feel it.
Yeah, yeah. And so over the years, it's kind of like kind of gone on where he like continued to like drive or forge this bad boy image of like, you know, going up like at a charity thing and being like, George Bush does not care about black people. Right. He hates you.
Yes.
He hates you. And like he did things like that that like made him go, oh, maybe America, white America, should really worry about Kanye West.
Right, right.
And she continued being her Aphrodite, like awesome, like goddess self. And you know that that cannot possibly be the case. She's got to be a little bit evil behind the scenes.
But she did a great job. You never saw it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Until this week.
Yes. And I, you know, it's so funny. Until it broke bad this week. And what we're talking about, you know, when there was the controversy when Kanye West released his latest video. I can't think of the name of the song. But there was a part in the video where he's laying down and he's in bed with Taylor Swift and all these other celebrities. Mm-hmm. And immediately, once that video came out, it was Taylor Swift going, well, first of all, people had a very negative reaction to it. That was very misogynistic. How could he do that? He's still stuck on this Taylor Swift thing. Taylor Swift saw the video, thought it was disgusting, and then claimed that she knew nothing of this video. This was not a prearranged thing. And Kanye took all this heat for what had happened. And then it gets revealed through Kim Kardashian, of all people, who releases a video where it was all prearranged.
Yeah, so there's a line in there where he says, I'm gonna sleep with Kanye. Or, I'm sorry, I'm going to sleep with Taylor Swift.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and she had originally said, I never ever authorized that.
On her Instagram, she had a thing where it said, where is the video of Kanye telling me he was going to call me that bitch in his song? It doesn't exist because it never happened. Mm-hmm. You don't get to control someone's emotional response to being called that bitch in front of the entire world. Of course, I wanted to like the song. I wanted to believe Kanye when he told me that I would love the song. I wanted us to have this friendly relationship. He promised to play the song for me, but he never did.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
While I wanted to be supportive of Kanye on the phone call, you cannot approve a song you haven't heard. Mm-hmm. Being falsely painted as a liar when I was never given the full story or played any part of the song is character assassination. I would very much like to be excluded from this narrative, one that I never asked to be a part of since 2009.
Her lawyer didn't write that. Sure. And she ended it with, if he continues this, there will be trouble, trouble, trouble. Did she write that?
No, she didn't write that.
She should have. So
that would have been good.
Unfortunately, shut up. Kanye and his people, They know there's a white devil out there who's ready to like throw them under the bus at every turn.
Very smart.
So they record everything, and so there's an inappropriately videotaped episode of this whole phone call where he had said that I called Taylor, I asked her for her permission, or I talked to her about this, and even though he didn't have to legally, honestly, I'm going to mention you in a song, and we talked about how this is all going to go down.
Right.
And we taped it with a cell phone, and we didn't tape it like landscape. I always hate it when people tape things portfolio. You should tape things landscape, you some bitches.
For all my Southside niggas that know me best, I feel like me and Taylor
like
might
like
still have
car.
Sex.
Yeah. He's reading the line to
you still got the Nashville number?
I still have the Nashville area code, but I had to change it.
Like this close to overexposure.
Oh, well this one is I think this is a really cool thing to have.
I know, definitely. It's like a compliment, kind of.
Yeah. I give a fuck
worst.
About is just you as a person and as a friend. I want things that
That's
make
sweet.
You feel good. I don't want to do rap that makes people feel
bad. Yeah, I mean, go whatever line you think is better. It's obviously very tongue-in-cheek either way. And I really appreciate you telling me about it. That's really nice.
Is she the worst?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was like, was that Rick Rubin in the background,
friend,
dude?
You know, and
like there was like a shot of like an old fat white guy with like a giant like ZZ Top beard. It looked like it was like Rick Rubin.
Then maybe it is. Maybe it
all right.
Is.
Yeah. So that's her basically being like, yeah, no, I'm great with whatever line or whatever.
So that's the craziest thing. As soon as it broke this video, Kanye West is universally hated. Taylor Swift like takes a step back, disavows any relationship to this video, knowing that she talked to this guy on the phone. And here's the part that gets me the most. Mm-hmm. After all this has still come out, you have all these other like little pop stars, Selena Gomez, Chloe Moretz, all these people saying we still support Taylor. What was portrayed in that video was awful. They kind of come from that women's right, you know, kind of lefty side of things. And it was like, oh my God, how is not everybody coming down? When you hear this, how can you not be like,
how could you not be on
Kanye?
Team Kanye, dude?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
There's no way.
We're all on Team Kanye.
Yes, but I think we're like the only two. And people are still
the only
stuck.
Two whiteies.
Yeah.
Every other black guy has always been on Team Kanye, right?
But I think we're the only two whiteies.
That's
we're like
ridiculous.
Two 42-year-old whiteies that are on Team Kanye. And
dude.
It's like, dude, can you not be open-minded enough
yeah.
to go, I know you love her music, but maybe she's just a jerk store.
Yeah, no. And I don't, honestly, I've never really looked in her eyes and felt like she's smart.
Oh,
she's
no.
always seemed very vacant, like, and she was, you know, like a pop star when she was like 14 or something,
right.
like in country.
But still, though,
so,
she's an adult now.
Well,
and
fine,
don't think
but
to
like,
yourself,
I feel like she was groomed to be a pop star.
She was.
Her parents steered her into country. That was the easiest path. They got her there, and like she couldn't have been like doing any heavy duty like studying and stuff. She can't be like sharp. She can't be sharp. Like, I've never even seen her parents. Like, if her parents, like, and honestly, that's one of the cool things about her is that I don't know who her parents are. But on the other hand, they may be so stupid that, like, the record company was like, all right, get these two dolts out of here. Put them on Howard Stern's show. They could be, like, you know, Mary and Elliot, the special adult on Howard Stern.
Right, right. Well, you know, it's... You know, it's just funny to see, like, the way that this situation is broken down. But just to see that, like, people still cannot shift their opinions. That's the shocking part to me. I just can't wrap my mind around that.
The people, they can't go from, like, Team Taylor that we probably were on before. Because he did seem like a loudish, jerkish guy.
Absolutely. Like isn't
now
there...
we're switching to Team Kanye. We're like, no, this guy's getting set up.
Right, and honestly, the cojones on this girl to sit there and know, I know that this guy called me, and we had a conversation about it. And hey, Dumbo, never mind being recorded, like, can't he prove, like, I have her phone number? Look, here are at least phone records. I called her on this day before I released the video. Like, wouldn't that even break it down for the public?
But who's going to look into that? Like, her audience is a bunch of 15-year-old girls.
I know.
Like, they care. And they're 42-year-old moms.
Hold on. But she knows that there is a record of her speaking to Kanye West on the phone.
But I think
never
that
mind
that's
the
a
substance
new,
that
that's
takes
the new
place.
America. Look, you're in the new America where they have... Sorry, I don't want to get, like, topic, but
you're
I mean, start talking about
Bernie Sanders.
Sorry, but they just released 28 pages of the 9/11 report basically said, yeah, Prince Bandar's wife, the Prince Bandar, he was the Saudi ambassador to the United States, and he was like known as Bandar Bush. He was so close with the Bush family that he was known as Bandar Bush by the media. Yeah, his wife funded some of the 9/11 bombers, some of the 9/11 attackers. So we live in a country where that is released.
Wait a second.
We live in a country where the 9/11 attackers have been linked to the Bush family directly. And no one even cares. So you're expecting people to be like, oh, my God,
yes,
Taylor.
Actually, I am.
Taylor.
I am, because
accepted
this is
a phone call from Kanye.
Yes, I
and
do.
I'm not going to switch from Team Taylor to Team
because
Kanye.
Because I think this is the stuff that the public values.
Okay, okay, fine.
So I would have thought that.
Fine. Do you think that the... are you on Team Bush Bandar?
Oh, I'm not even going to make that transition.
Or Team America?
Are you kidding?
Because Team America, there's a team of like superheroes in Team America.
Stop.
And we are getting ready to take over America.
I thought we were going to get through this show.
No.
The last couple weeks,
no.
We hit the politics pretty hard. I thought we'd make it. And then as soon as you said, no, I normally wouldn't bring this up, I was like, here we it's going to be something about Trump's
Wait,
plane.
I just want to know.
I
want to know.
It's going to be about a birth certificate.
I
want to
know, you son of a bitch. Listen, are you on Team America or Team Bandar Bush?
I'll tell you what. I'll do it just like when you and I sit down and watch the UFC.
Yeah.
And we say, who are you rooting for?
Yeah.
Who are you? What team are you on?
You know I'm on Team America.
Okay, I'm on Team Bandar Bush.
Oh, yeah. I want Team Bandar Bush in jail.
I'm on Team Bandar Bush.
I want them executed, actually. But I want them in jail first. Then I want there to be like some sort of due process. Then I want them executed, all of them, summarily.
I want them to...
Yeah, to prevail over America.
Yes, I want them to sue the government
and
walk away with millions. I'm on Team Bandar Bush.
I'll kill you!
No, you won't.
Listen.
You can't kill me.
You and Team Bandar Bush and Taylor Swift, you guys can all go jump in a lake. As far as I'm concerned,
I'm not on. Well, if you're going to tell me to jump in a lake, you're telling me, Bandar, and Kanye. Don't mix up my teams.
No! Wait, no. I'm on Kanye and I'm on America.
Well, then we cross over.
Mm.
And then in a new season, I go Bandar Bush.